I want to say again how important it is to be kind and hospitable and friendly to first-time visitors. The national statistics are that Unitarian Universalist congregations have the most first-time visitors of any religious movement in the country. We do. And we do the worst job of getting them to come back. So if y'all could just wrestle some of these people to the ground as they're trying to leave the sanctuary today, get a commitment from them that they will be back next week, I think that probably would be a terrible idea. I still can't get over what happened here Friday night. You cannot imagine people who are more marginalized than transgender people. These people are absolutely pushed to the edge by their churches, by their schools, by their families. Many of them are thrown out of their families. They're told, if you're going to be that way, just get away. We don't want you anymore. And yet Friday night, here in this building, they were embraced and loved and had a great time. It was a party. There was lots of laughter, lots of joy, lots of smiles on faces. That is great work, y'all. And we have been hosting gender benders here for years now. Very important work. Very important work that we do. Thrilling. So I had a dream. Gay men were gathered in a large auditorium. They were listening to a speaker. That was much like what we're experiencing right this second. They were listening to a speaker. The faces of the men in this room were banged up. They were battered. They were cut. They were bruised. They had paid other men to beat them up. Remember, this is a dream. Very strange dream. The speaker at the podium said, "You don't have to do that anymore." And at least one guy in the room, a guy that I became convinced after waking from this dream must have been me. One guy in the room believed the speaker when he said, "You don't have to do that anymore." I could see his face. I could see the guy in the dream who I came to realize was me. And I could tell from the expression on his face that he believed the speaker who said, "You don't have to do that anymore." Please understand the purpose of this sermon. Last week, I asked you to liberate yourself into oneness. Today, I am asking you to liberate yourself into a way of living that frees you from paying other people to beat you up. And my source for this sermon is my own unconscious mind and the grace and the beauty of a dream. This is about not paying other people to beat the crap out of you anymore. It's about not putting yourself or myself in situations where people can treat me like a punching bag, or where I can treat other people like a punching bag. This is about looking at all the ways in my life that I have set myself up for a fall and have fallen. And this is also about looking at all the ways in my life where I have set other people up for falls. And they have fallen. I have watched them fall downstairs because I turned out to be the biggest jerk in the world in that moment. And maybe it's about your not doing the same thing. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not. You don't have to hurt other people. You can stop drinking or doing drugs or cheating on your boyfriend or girlfriend or some combination thereof. You can stop smoking or eating foods that hurt you. You don't have to do that anymore. At least I don't. I've had a lot of missteps in my life, and because of that, I may well be somebody you don't want to listen to. But I've learned, and maybe you can learn from me, that you don't have to do that anymore. No matter how old you are, no matter how drunk you are, how sick you are, how far gone you are, you don't have to do that anymore. Sitting around with a dear friend, we talked about this dream. We talked about a lot of things. But we also talked about this dream. This dream of a room full of men with beat up faces. We talked about abusers. We talked about people who scream and shout and chastise their wives or their husbands, their children, their employees. What do these people want? What do they hope all that screaming and violence and bullying will accomplish? Do they hope that when the storm settles, when they have clearly defined their authority, at that point they will be seen for what they think they are? Blameless? Perfect? Worthy of some big throne in a royal hall? Will they be seen as not the bad person, but rather the person who, like a newborn baby, is innocent? Is that what they're hoping to accomplish? Is that what they're working for? You don't have to do that anymore. Here's why. It's done. It's over. At some level, we all know how incredibly wonderful and magnificent we all are. So there's no more need to fret or worry or scream or yell or bully. The jury's in. You're wonderful. Take a look in the mirror the next time you pass and dare to wink at that mirror and say, "Hey, baby, you're looking good. You're wonderful." Does that feel strange to you? Has it never occurred to you that you deserve a wonderful life? That you are a wonderful person? This is what Marshall Rosenberg talks about all the time. We need to communicate with people with the intention of making our lives wonderful and their lives wonderful. Everybody deserves a wonderful life. Come to that training on March 17th and 18th. You will love it. I remember being in the 8th grade and getting crap from other guys on the basketball team because I was feeling my own muscles. I was 13 years old, and I had never noticed that I had arm muscles before. They told me I was a sissy because I was committing self-love. If that were true, well, it hurt badly. I remember being humiliated. What? How come some guys get to put other guys down so they can feel superior? It ain't right. What is the whole deal with who's out and who's in? How come? It makes my skin crawl to think about it. As many of you know, Byron Katie is a huge influence in my life. She teaches a system of questioning your thoughts. Look her up online at thework.com. Thework.com. She's stupendous, amazing, miraculous in her ability to use questions to unhook us from our stressful thoughts. She asks, "Who would you be without that thought?" And as I explained in my book, Falling in Love with Everything, that question worked a miracle in my life in July of 2007. It led me to a place where I could see my personal story, was only the tiniest fraction of what was going on in the universe. good. We need that. We need space and time and openness, not so much of our own personal stories of complaints and fears and failures and worries. She calls people who are doing the work traitors to misery. You be a traitor to misery. If I question my thoughts of stress, I become a traitor to misery. I rise up singing like an angel. I vibrate at such a high level of stupendous joy that it doesn't matter what other people think. I can't control what other people think anyway. I can't control anything. So how much better simply to dance with whatever people want to throw my way? The boys in the eighth grade thought I was a sissy because I rubbed my own arms. Well, what the hell, guys? Let's dance. One of the speakers on one of Byron Katie's videos said, "I have discovered that my primary addiction is to stressful thoughts." I have been to that place during the process of learning I don't have to do that anymore. Freedom from stressful thoughts makes me so happy, I feel like dancing or even just running around like a little kid. Yes! Yes! Freedom from stressful thoughts means enjoying thoughts of running and jumping and singing and dancing. What if we could unhook from the twirling treadmill of stressful thoughts by losing ourselves, literally losing ourselves in nature? I quoted Emerson last week talking about it. Just a little bit of that again, a little bit of Emerson. "In the woods, we return to reason and faith. I feel that nothing can befall me in life. No disgrace, no calamity, which nature cannot repair." He wrote of losing himself in uncontained beauty. It's right outside this window. Uncontained beauty. Trees and grass and clouds and sky. He described an absolutely boundless joy. Thinking of uncontained beauty and dancing reminds me of another favorite quote, and then how Mark Twain made fun of it. Lord Byron said, "On with the dance, let joy be unconfined." And Mark Twain wrote, "On with the dance, let joy be unconfined. That's always been my motto. Whether there is any dance to dance or any joy to unconfine." Okay, so Mark Twain was a black-hearted cynic. And Lord Byron was probably a sissy. I am encouraging you to run out into the yard and dance and sing and jump around. And if you can't dance, sing. And if you can't sing, run. And if you can't run, laugh. Is there anyone who can't laugh, who doesn't find both the absurdity and the glory of human life in laughter? And if you are not laughing, you don't have to do that anymore. You can stop not laughing. So many times I have sat sadly and regretfully in the consequences of my own folly. Rarely at those times have I remembered to laugh. How much better off I would have been if I had the good sense to laugh. Dale Carnegie tells the delightful story of an insufferable Norwegian, a man named Jan Janssen. He was proud, arrogant, insufferable, a horse's patootie. He was always sticking his nose in the air and telling his fellow workmen how to do their jobs. After a few days of this, they tired of his haughty ways and they threw him into a pond on the worksite. Dripping wet, He came out of the pond and was confronted by his boss. And his boss said to him, "What are you going to do now?" He said, "I just laugh." One of my most beloved college professors, Shirley Raleigh, once sent me a postcard that contained a painting of a court jester, each side of his mouth pulled open with his fingers sticking out his tongue. The card read, "Life is too delirious. Don't take it serious." So there you go. If you are taking life serious, you don't have to do that anymore. If you are caught in a trap of addiction or a codependent relationship that is sucking the life out of you, you don't have to do that anymore. You can start coming to meetings of Codependence Anonymous on Wednesday nights here at 7 o'clock. No matter how long you have been limping from some bear trap wrapped around your ankle, no matter how long you've been paying people to beat you up, no matter how crazy foolish you have been in self-defeating behavior, you don't have to do that anymore. Of course, you can keep right on doing it. We are Unitarian Universalists. We believe in choice. But just remember, regardless of what you choose, you don't have to do that anymore.